This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Earlier this hour, Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry issued a formal concession to his supporters in Faneuil Hall in Boston, Massachusetts. At the top of the hour, 3 o'clock Eastern Time, President Bush is expected to formally declare victory to a crowd of his supporters at Bush-Cheney headquarters at the Ronald Reagan Building in downtown Washington, D.C. Stay tuned to this NPR station. We'll bring you live coverage of that when it begins. Right now, though, we are talking about an issue that emerged somewhat to the surprise of pollsters in the campaign. Throughout the long race between Kerry and Bush, the economy, the war in Iraq, terrorism were all acknowledged as issues. Yesterday, people emerging from the polls put one issue above all the others, something they called moral values. Well, what are those exactly? What does it mean? What does it mean in the context of the election? What does it mean for a divided America? If you're a Bush supporter, call us at 800-344-3893. A Kerry supporter, 800-344-3864. Joining us now is George Lakoff. He said there is a distinct divide in our culture. We just need to learn to talk constructively about each other's values. He's a professor of cognitive science and linguistics at the University of California at Berkeley. His latest book is called Don't Think of an Elephant, Know Your Values and Frame the Debate, the Essential Guide for Progressives. And he joins us now from his office at the Rock Ridge Institute in Berkeley, California. And it's good of you to be with us today.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How and when did moral values come to be take such a prominent role in this election?
Well, they've been playing a prominent role in elections all the way through, from the 94 election on, and even before that. The problem is this, that the Democrats do not know how to express the unconscious values that they feel in their guts, whereas the Republicans have figured out how to do it and do it very effectively. You know, moral values are not about just abortion and same-sex marriage and stem cells. They're about much deeper issues and just about all issues. Basic idea of morality in this country comes from notions of the family. Conservative values come out of what I call a strict father family, and the progressive values come out of a nurturing parent family. And those are values that the Democrats don't know how to express. Values having to do with both care and responsibility, responsible caring, but also out of that comes protection, comes opportunity, comes the value of community, of trust, of all of the things that progressives in this country feel very deeply and that lie behind all of their legislative proposals. But they don't know how to talk about their values. They don't know how to express them. They don't know how to come together around their values the way that the Republicans have done. So it's very important to understand that the moral values issue is not about, you know, just those few things like abortion and so on. They're about everything. What is protection about? Protection is not just about terrorism, though it is about that. It's also about environmental protection, consumer protection, worker protection, economic protection for people who are economically vulnerable. These are major, major issues that are values issues. The Democrats have made a mistake in thinking that they're self-interest issues and that people vote their self-interest. People don't. People mostly vote their values, and that's what this shows. Mm-hmm. And the book Moral Politics that I put out some years back, you know, predicted all of this, that this is exactly what America is about. America is about values, but the press has not been up on it. The press has not figured out exactly what those values are, nor has the Democratic Party told them.
One criticism of the Democrats is that they lack the ideological fervor of the Republicans. There are a lot of different kinds of conservatives, but conservatism is at least a coherent ideology. Democrats, if they have a coherent ideology, they are unable to express that as well.
That's correct. There is a coherent ideology. It's discussed in Don't Think of an Elephant. In Chapter 8, it's gone into in great detail. But the problem is that there are also divisions among Democrats, just as there are divisions among Republicans. But the Republicans have figured out what the divisions are and what unites them. We've also figured it out here at Rockridge, but the problem is that the Democratic Party doesn't, hasn't acknowledged that there are actual values that they all share. mm-hmm. and they need to be able to talk about those. And one very important thing is about religion. There are more liberal Christians in this country than there are conservative Christians. But the liberal Christians are not organized. They have liberal values, both in their religion, in their theology, and in their politics. And their theology and politics are as closely linked as the conservative theology and politics are linked. But the liberal Christians, again, can't express their theology and its relationship to their political values, and they have no organization, no spokesman, nobody out there bringing them together as the Christian coalition has brought the conservative Christians together.
Well, let's get a caller in on the conversation. Grace is with us from Opelousas, Louisiana.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air, Grace.
Yes, thank you. I'm a first-time voter for the first time in 30 years. In Louisiana, we had the amendment towards marriage that mm-hmm. we had in September, and I registered to vote specifically for that issue. And as you may know, 79% of the population voted for it, and an activist judge is in the courts right now. He said that it was unconstitutional, and that really goes to the grassroots of why you have seen the results in this election, is that we, as a Christian, most Christians in this nation trust that God chooses the kings, and that means the president. And we have enjoyed the luxury of religious freedom in this nation, which is what this nation was the basis of its founding. And we have seen in recent years that an oligarchy is forming in this country where activist judges are using preference over principle in their interpretation of the Constitution, assuming that this church, that the Constitution has a separation of church and state. The only Constitution in this world that had that clause in it was the Soviet Union. In the United States Constitution, they do not have a separation of church and state. So we have seen the Ten Commandments taken out of the state capitol in Alabama, and we have seen an increasing attempt to take away the Christian heritage from this country, and we are for everyone having their basic freedoms, but we have been seeing our freedoms to express our beliefs threatened increasingly more.
Your freedoms are not threatened, but in fact we do have a separation of church and state in our Constitution.
It's not
as you read that Constitution very carefully, there's going to be no established religion in this country.
And the reason
and that's very
for
important.
That
but in
was
particular,
to
Grace
is quite wrong about the the way that your freedoms have not been impugned. In fact, it's the reverse. The oligarchy in this country is the right, and the radical right, and Bush is part of the radical right. This is a radical issue. He wants to impose a hierarchy in this country, and this is supposed to be a democratic country. That hierarchy is a hierarchy of, among other things, financial success, for one thing. Secondly, a particular view, not only of Christianity, but of religion in general, a strict father version of Christianity, not a nurturant version of Christianity. And most Christians in this country follow the nurturant, not the strict father model of Christianity. Your model of Christianity is not that of most Christians in this country. And most Christians in this country want a separation of church and state as is given in the Constitution.
I think, saw the divide illustrated. George Lakoff, thank you very much for your time today.
Okay. Thanks for being here.
George Lakoff, professor of cognitive science and linguistics at the University of California at Berkeley. His latest book, he mentioned it, Don't Think of an Elephant, Know Your Values, and Frame the Debate, the Essential Guide for Progressives. And he was with us from his office at the Rock Ridge Institute in Berkeley, California. Many are afraid that a war over values could divide the nation even further. Morris Fiorina joins us now. He thinks the cultural divide has been greatly exaggerated. He's a professor of political science and a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He's the author of Culture War, The Myth of a Polarized America. He's with us from his office at the Hoover Institution. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Good morning.
After two very close, apparently very polarized elections, you say we're not that much divided?
Well, I'll have to see the data from this election before we really know. But to someone sitting here in the academy, this is deja vu all over again. We're hearing exactly the same commentary that we heard in 2000. And it turned out in 2000, when you looked at the data, the polarization wasn't there. And I'd like to speak just for a moment on a finding that's been made much too much of this morning, and that is this whole moral values as a basis for voting argument. In the national exit poll, there are about 1 in 5 voters gives that as the most important.
18%, I think, yeah.
Yes, and in the LA Times exit poll, where there are allowed 2 choices, it's about 22 or 23%. And so that doesn't make a culture war that 1 out of 5 voters says this was an important reason for their vote, or the most important reason for their vote, especially when you consider the fact that there's a giant echo chamber out there. You know, if you've been a voter and you've been listening to ads for 6 months about how Bush shares your values, and somebody pops a, you know, a mic in your face when you go, or just a ask you a question when you leave the polls, of course one of the things you're going to say is, he shares my values. So it's not really clear what's cause, what's effect here.
So given, though, the passage of those 11 ballot initiatives on the gay marriage issue, well, that would seem to indicate some division.
Oh, there are divisions, absolutely. The question is whether they're so deep as to merit the term culture war, whether they're any deeper. One of the things about the all the issues relating to gays is we're going through a period of great transition in public opinion from an era when gays were pariahs to an era of much greater tolerance and acceptance. And, you know, it's a logical fact that when you go through from 90 to 10 on one side to 90 to 10 on the other, you're going to go through a period of 50-50 where things are more polarized. And I think the one thing to keep in mind is that all the data we have show that young people are far more tolerant and accepting than older Americans. And so demographically, it's probably a pretty good prediction that we're heading for a sort of a new set of attitudes 10 or 20 years down the road.
If the culture war is a myth, where does the myth come from?
Well, I think that where the myth comes from is two things. First, the candidates themselves are far apart. The reason we see, I disagree quite a bit with the gentleman who was just on, the reason values are important is because the candidates chose to take different positions, intentionally or unintentionally, that the Republicans have gradually embraced the religious right, particularly in the form of George Bush, and the Democratic Party, electorally speaking, has gotten too secular for its own good. Ask yourself how much importance would values have been if John McCain were the Republican candidate and Joe Lieberman the Democratic candidate. McCain called some of the religious right leaders evil back in 2000, you may recall.
Mm-hmm.
And Lieberman is a very values-oriented Democrat. When you have candidates who don't differ a lot in a dimension, voters don't choose on that dimension. And what's happened is basically the Democrats have become more centrist economically, so there's less to choose between the parties on economics now than there used to be, and far more to choose on values. So it doesn't really represent necessarily any change in voters. It could represent simply a change in the alternatives voters are being presented.
Let's get another caller on the line. Cynthia's on the Democratic line from Schoharie County in New York.
Hi.
Hi.
I disagree with the gentleman who just spoke, and I agree with George. I do think that the moral value issue is something that inflames people's passions to such a degree that it pulls them. I heard a respondent this morning on one of the talk shows on my local channel who said that she was very sorry that she couldn't vote for John Kerry because she shared a lot of his social and
economic, perhaps?
Strategic initiatives, but because of her moral values, she had to vote for George Bush. And I think that the Republicans have hijacked the issue of moral values, and I'm kind of disappointed that the Democrats didn't articulate this and take up that phrase and define morality more inclusively. I think the unchallenged ownership of by the conservatives of moral values infers a very disquieting trend toward a fundamentalist Christian stance that that particular morality is synonymous with Christian fundamentalist values. I got a little cold chill when I heard the lady who spoke just before George.
The caller from Louisiana, Grace. Yes.
Yeah, and I heard something that was reminiscent of the divine right of kings, which really struck fear into my heart.
Well, let's get a response from Morris Fiorina.
I'd love to.
Okay. I'm not, as I indicated, I don't think the Democrats have reacted optimally to the Republicans making this issue salient. But I just caution you, don't generalize about America from what you hear on talk shows or letters to the editor, present company excluded. That's about the best evidence for life on other planets that I know of. You really have to look at systematic data to see, to get a real picture of America.
Well, Cynthia?
Yes?
Well, we're going to have to wait, I guess, a couple of days to get a look at that systematic data. But in terms of the full data from the exit polls that were conducted yesterday, but as of the moment, it was moral values that most people cited by just tiny fraction of a percentage point over terrorism, the economy, the war in the Iraq,
yeah,
and other issues.
I have to say that I find that a lot of the things that have been done by the current and apparently ongoing administration to be profoundly immoral.
Mm-hmm. Well, Cynthia, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And Morris Fiorina, thank you for your time today. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Morris Fiorina is a professor of political science, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. He's the author of Culture War, The Myth of a Polarized America. He joined us from his office at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University in Palo Alto, California. In just a couple of moments, President Bush is expected to address his supporters at the Ronald Reagan Building here in Washington, D.C. Earlier this hour, John Kerry conceded defeat in the election. Stay tuned for live coverage from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.